as a player, and then again in management, obviously you were around coaching for a long time as an agent as well. You know, we've been debating over learning to play a system and the onus on the players ultimately. The coach can have the best system ever, Brian, but if the players don't believe in it or aren't willing to implement it, it's probably all for naught. It's 9 games for Dallas Eakins. Way too early yet to say whether or not his system's the right one or not. Definitely the players are struggling with it. Lars Eller said they play like a junior team sometimes with not very much structure. How much longer will it take, and what will it take in order for the Edmonton owners to get that system proper?
Well, I mean, obviously that's the million-dollar question. Everybody teaches differently. Everybody learns at a different rate. And then ultimately, you have to determine where your group is at as far as their ability to execute what you want. So there's a lot of factors that go into that. I think it's unrealistic to think 9 games in, everything should be hunky-dory, though, Jason. It takes longer than that. We don't have a specific number. I've been around this game for a long time. There isn't one. It's interesting to watch the guys that are really good in the National Hockey League and that are known as real quality coaches. And it seems like every year I'm driving down to the Nashville Wild game right now, and it seems like every couple of years Nashville really struggles with, as they bring new players, getting into their system at the start of the season, and then they get it and they really catch on and take off. That's happened again this year. It's happened a number of times over the years. And Barry Trotz is a proven teacher and really educator for the players. It takes the players a while to get what the coaches want. I think that's what's happening in Edmonton more than anything right now.
I know there's no general answer, 20 games, 10 games, 15 games. Some guys will get it. At what point you look at, because the Oilers have had a new system almost every year for their young players, so I'm sure that adds to the issues where maybe they're thinking too much and you mix up, well, am I going here, am I staying, am I stopping? When you look at the swarm system for the Edmonton Oilers, how would you evaluate it through 9 games? Is it a system that ultimately you think will have success, or does it only have success by certain players?
Well, I think right now, more than anything for Edmonton, they haven't had that consistent goaltending they wanted. It's put them in, you're out of your system earlier than you want in games. And more than anything, that's really created havoc for them, in my opinion, early on. Playing from behind, giving up untimely goals. Those are the types of things that derail what you're trying to accomplish on a nightly basis. It just seems like the Oilers have had a lot of those things, a lot more of those things happen that would be considered normal. And, that's something they've got to get that consistency down. They've got to get deep into games with their system, then let their skill take over and win those games. That's, how I see that team playing eventually. I just don't know if they're there yet.
The Oilers aren't a very aggressive group at all. Jason Strudwick totally says, man, as a defenseman, I wouldn't be worried at all having to go back for the puck. There's no fear whatsoever. How does that alter a system then when you just don't have a group of guys who will go hard in on the forecheck and even pressure defensemen to want him to cough the puck up?
Well, everybody's playing different, but even the best trapping teams, though, they have an element of pressure that, they may be identified as being a team that sits back and backs up to the neutral zone and forces things wide into confined spaces. But ultimately, the teams that are really good at trapping have a really good pressure of the puck system. And they're able to turn the switch on and off. And particularly at different points of the game, you can see it. I watch a team like Phoenix, and, Dave Tippett is always spot on his strategic decisions. But he's also got his team in a position where it is literally like flipping a light switch where they can aggressively pressure the puck or passively force teams into turnovers in the neutral zone in those confined spaces along the boards. And it's really, a thing of beauty to watch.
Brian Lawton joins us, NHL analyst, former first pick overall, player agent, general manager. Brian, a few other things. Where do you stand on just a lot of the players don't seem to be getting hitting from behind, right? I think that's a much significant issue more than fighting. There's an injury once every blue moon and people get all up in arms over it, but for the most part it's not the major issue in the NHL right now. Hitting from behind is. How do you get it out of the game?
Well, I think you need a concerted effort to eliminate the dangerous plays. Not zero tolerance, as we heard coming out of the lockout for hooking and holding. It really should be zero tolerance for those plays like Ryan Garbutt on Dustin Penner, like a Patrick Coletta just committed recently on Jack Johnson, you know, Le Perrier on Boyle. Those are the types of things that you really have to go hard after. It is, you know, not always black and white. I felt that the Cody McLeod hit was, you know, when you have the player coming out and saying, I put myself in a bad position, and he's not doing some of the things that I see the other players do. Those are the most difficult calls for player safety.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, the league has to continue to take the very strong stance that they have. And if the players don't start to recognize it quick enough, then I think you're going to see the league extend, you know, those suspensions. I think you're going to see what was 2 and 3 and 5 and even 10 games, you know, jump to 5 and 8 and 10 and 15 and maybe 20. But I do think the league is committed to that path. I do believe it's the right path for the players. There's just too many things that can go wrong with the dangerous plays, the hitting from behind. That was not very prevalent, certainly when I played in the 80s and early 90s. Those types of events generally would cause an all-out brawl. We don't have that type of reaction in today's game, so I think it's incumbent upon the league to step up and kind of fill that void, you know, with the might of their suspensions that they're able to dole out. I think it's in the best long-term interest of the players. Some guys may not like it. Some fans may not like it. It's just the way it is in today's game.
Brian Lawton joins us. Brian, do you think if there was ability for players to jump in and create havoc right away and grab a guy and maybe rocking him, sock him a little bit, would that make players tune in more? Was that something that when you played, because I know you weren't a fighter by any stretch, but if you're like, you're going in, did you think about it at all, or was that not a thought process for guys that you were worried about, man, if I cheap shot the guy, I'm going to have to pay a price?
Well, first off, thank you, Jason. I wasn't a fighter by any stretch any more than you are. I'm kidding. But I do think that, you know, really, there's so many big, strong guys in the league now that, you know, the element of fighting was a much more dangerous deal. You know, it really, truly was like the sheriff in the Wild West. It just settled things down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dave Semenko, he just settled things down out there. And the kind of nonsense that you see going on in some of the games today never happened when Dave Semenko wasn't doing anything but skating up and down the wing. And yeah, I know this is real because I sat in the locker room and I'd sit across from Willie Platt, and, you know, he'd look at some of the guys like myself that might be hacking and whacking a little more than fighting out there, and he'd look at you before the game and say, whatever you do, don't wake them up. Just leave them alone. Let's just play clean and hard. And I just don't think those types of conversations happen anymore. And, you know, it's a shame for the game. It's made it a lot more dangerous for the players. And I think it does fall upon the league to really step in. And, you know, as they continue to push fighting, you know, maybe on its way out of the game, they got to make sure that the nonsense doesn't elevate. And the dangerous plays are the root of all that for me. And, you know, when you really break it down, Jason, there's a lot of really bad things that can happen from hitting players from behind. And I'm not talking about a guy, you know, breaking a wrist or injuring his shoulder. I'm talking about being paralyzed and things that can affect you for the rest of your life. I've seen it firsthand. It's no joke. And I hope the NHL continues to be vigilant on it because it is a serious issue.
Brian Lawton joins us, a former NHLer, current analyst now. Interesting what you said about the conversations with Willie Plett, right? You know, I wouldn't say you were a Steve Ott agitator, but you played the game hard. And back then, a lot of guys, if you didn't play the game hard, you didn't last in the NHL. That's just kind of how it was. Even the skilled guys back then would fight on a semi-regular basis. Today's, you know, we see Patrick Coletta again being suspended. You know, I know he's going through that appeal process, right? If you're a current GM in today's game or a current coach, it's hard because coaches tell those third and fourth line guys, play hard, finish your check. So you're that type of player, yet you've got to think about the safety of the other guy and not crush him into the boards from behind. Do you think coaches will accept that if one of their third or fourth line guys isn't running the guy because it's an unsafe play?
I mean, you know, the things that are going on today, I mean, you have to understand that the number one thing that coaches are telling players is to finish their checks. That's why I have some sympathy for Cody McLeod. I understand that the coaches and the manager, they want him to complete that check.
Yep.
And if he doesn't, it does not bode well for his employment with the club. And to me, that's a little bit, you know, confusing. We almost have to kind of grab a hold of that, maybe redefine, you know, what you do want from a guy and what you don't and what the penalties are. And until that's done clearer, you know, we're going to continue to struggle with some of these instances. But I really, truly did feel for Cody, because I don't believe there was malice for him to really tag Cronwall there. I don't believe he had a lot of options. He could have hit the brakes flat out. We haven't started to see that yet in the National Hockey League, but I got to tell you, you can see it in the National Football League with regard to the quarterback. You can see some of these monstrous guys that are not finishing hits the way they used to because the changes in the rules, and I think that we could achieve the same standard in the NHL. It's just going to take time.